There's a story about an old English schoolmaster who ran his classroom with an iron hand. One day, a new student joined the class, and the schoolmaster wanted to make sure that that boy understood who was in charge. And so he said to the boy, "I make the rules, and you obey them. When I call on you to recite, you should stand on the left side of your desk, hold your book in your right hand, and then recite." The boy tried to say something, but the teacher just cut him off. Later in the day, the schoolmaster called on him, so the boy got up. He stood on the left side of his desk. So far, so good. But he held his textbook in on the left hand instead of with his right hand. This infuriated the teacher, who assumed that the boy was defying him. So the schoolmaster yelled, "I told you to hold your book in the right hand." And he grabbed the boy and he shook him. And as the student fell backwards, an empty sleeve swung around, revealing the fact that the boy had no right arm. Here's the point. Every single person has an empty sleeve of some kind. Oftentimes, we can't see it. It's too easy to become judgmental with other people when they don't act the way we want or expect them to act. It's easy for us to be critical, to find fault, and point the finger. But when we begin to remember that everyone has an empty sleeve of some kind, it becomes easier to accept others, to respect them, to love them, and to overlook things which really are nothing but unimportant distractions. What is an empty sleeve? An empty sleeve might be a challenging personality characteristic. It might be something that makes us feel uncomfortable. It may be some experience in the past that leads us uncomfortable or afraid in certain circumstances. It may be a physical or an emotional or a mental condition. It may be a secret sorrow, fear, regrets, or burden. We might think that a person is cold and indifferent when actually he might be deeply sad. We might think someone is unfriendly when she may actually be shy or very uncomfortable around people that she doesn't know. This concept of the empty sleeve brings us to today's scripture lesson, which gives instructions about how to live together in unity and how to treat one another in the midst of human imperfections, in the midst of empty sleeves. The letter to the people at Ephesus is written with two main purposes: to build up the Christian church in a spirit of unity, helping them have unity even when they don't agree with each other, and to instruct those early Christians and us on how we should behave. Today's text reminds us that when we choose to follow Christ, God comes into us and makes us new people, and we are able to live into this new life. This new life, it leads us from alienation with God and others and ourselves to acceptance and healthy relationship. It leads us from spiritual blindness to sight. It leads us from this sense of constant anxiety to this sense of peace no matter what happens. The Apostle Paul gives a long list of what it looks like to think and act like people of God who have received this new life in Christ, how to behave like people of God who are followers of Jesus. Our scripture today tells us that we are called to be honest, to tell the truth. Lying is wrong because it hurts relationships. It violates community. We're instructed to keep from remaining angry. Notice it doesn't say to not be angry. Anger is a normal response to the frustrations of life, and our anger, we need to not stuff it, but to deal with it in healthy ways. But it is not healthy for individuals or for the body of Christ to let our anger go on unchecked. You see, being angry for extended periods of time creates relationship barriers with our neighbors, with God, and within our own soul. We are challenged to refrain from stealing. Theft involves physical objects. Most of us would agree that we shouldn't steal in that way, but theft can also include stealing someone's time, their sense of well-being, their reputation, their esteem. It can be failing to be good and generous stewards of the resources God has given us. And we're called to avoid inappropriate language, gossip, thoughtless words, critical words, anything that tears down rather than builds up. And above all, Scripture calls us to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving in our interactions with each other. Now, we need to be careful here. This Scripture mandated, it doesn't mean that we accept abusive, hurtful, harmful behavior. It doesn't mean that we place ourselves in harmful situations. You see, God's love calls us to stand up against injustice, to stand against the things that are wrong in society and relationships. But the kind of kindness and tender-hearted, forgiving nature our Scripture calls us to is what makes for Christian community in the midst of some of the most trying experiences in life. It's all about how we go about dealing with our relationships, those simple ones and those challenging ones. Living in a spirit of kindness and forgiveness and tenderness is what attracts unbelievers to the life that we have together. We started today by talking about the fact that all of us have empty sleeves of sorts, which is why it is so important we treat each other with understanding, with kindness, with tenderness, with forgiveness. Think of the picture of the three wise monkeys. The three wise monkeys help us in this task of carrying out this scripture, of caring for each other in the presence of our empty sleeves. One monkey is covering its ears, reminding us to hear no evil. Another monkey is covering its eyes, reminding us to see no evil. And the third monkey is covering its mouth, reminding us to speak no evil. See no evil. Being careful not to imagine bad things about other people. Being careful not to search for the bad in others. We know the truth that when we want to find fault in someone, we can always find it. You see, so often we see what we are looking for. So instead, let's train ourselves to look for the good in other people. Let's try to understand rather than make quick, easy indictments. And if we do so, we may find ourselves being God's healing agents, and we may find ourselves with new friends. Hear no evil. Refusing to listen to or respond to gossip and other words that tear people down. It's so easy when gossip happens to go in on it and to listen to that and be entertained by it. But it is so harmful. Sometimes we can't help hearing negative, unhelpful talk. In these situations, we need to make sure that we do no evil with what we hear. This means making sure that any negative words stop with us. In Rabbi Talushka's book, Words That Hurt, Words That Heal, he gives this advice. Read it with me. When you hear negative information that is not your business or anyone else's business, let this guide you. Have you heard something? Let it die with you. Be strong. It will not burst you. Have you heard something negative about someone? A put down, a criticism? You have power to stop it. Let it die with you. When people choose to bring negative information to us, we can also choose to help them come to a broader perspective and calm them rather than incite them, or we can help them find healthy, positive ways of sharing their information. See no evil. Hear no evil. Speak no evil. Not repeating rumors. Not saying things that damage others, whether they are true or not. Making sure that our words are helpful and uplifting. There's a prayer I pray And I pray this prayer almost every day. I pray this prayer before every counseling session, before every meeting that I go to, and it is this. Lord, help me say what needs to be said. And more importantly, help me refrain from speaking what is best not said. Is that a prayer you need to pray? I don't know about you, but I haven't gotten in all that much trouble for not speaking something I should have spoke. I do that pretty well. But oh, how many times I've lost sleep at night because I've said those things which best remain unsaid. Let's say that prayer together. Lord, help me say what needs to be said. And more importantly, help me refrain from speaking what is best not said. There's a story about a priest who was being honored at a dinner at the 25th anniversary of the arrival of his coming to that parish. A politician who was a prominent member of that parish was chosen to give the speech, but he was late, and he called in and he told them that he was going to be late, and so the priest got up and gave his homily while they waited. The priest began, "My first impression of this parish was not good, not good at all. The very first person to enter my confessional told me about how he had assaulted a police officer who gave him a ticket, further that he had stolen money from his parents, embezzled money from his place of business, had an affair with his boss's wife, and taken illegal drugs. I was appalled. I didn't know what I had gotten into. But as the days went on, I learned that all of the people in this parish were not like that, that this parish is filled with good and godly people." Just as the priest finished his talk, the politician arrived, filled with apologies for being late. He immediately began his speech. "I will never forget the first day our priest arrived in this parish," said the politician. "In fact, I had the honor of being the very first one to go to him in confession." Speak no evil. We need to be careful. We need to be selective. We need to be disciplined with our words so that we say what needs to be said, but so that we also don't do harm. If we keep alert to the power of our words, we may be able to minimize pain and suffering for ourselves and others, and we might find that inner relational peace that we all yearn for. Today's scripture, it calls us to live in unity with one another, not conformity. We don't have to think alike, we don't have to agree, but in unity. In loving kindness. Our scripture calls us to see, hear, and speak no evil. That doesn't mean that we don't challenge injustice or confront bad behavior or demand that people be held accountable for their actions. But it does mean that remembering, whether it's obvious or not, that every single person we encounter has some kind of empty sleeve. Imperfection of some sort. Keeping this in mind can make it easier for us to follow Scripture's advice of being kind and tender-hearted and forgiving in our relationships with each other, just as God is always and forever kind and forgiving and tender-hearted toward us. Let's take a final moment here. Let's go just a bit deeper. Let's make it more personal. Where in your life do you need to choose to err on the side of grace, to cut people slack? Where do you need to see, hear, and speak no evil? As for you and me and this church, let us always choose to live in the gracious spirit of Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.